time it's my honor to introduce our speaker, Brother Sanders, and known him only for a little over a year now, but it's been a joy getting to know him better over the last year and talking to him. And I've been praying about doing some meetings like this, and as I was working on my calendar, you'll never guess who called and said, I need to be in town. And so I said, perfect. Guess what you'll be doing on Saturday night for this? And he was very gracious and agreed to do that for a nominal fee of lunch. But it's good to have him with us. Brother Sanders, it's yours. And just whatever the Lord laid on your heart, I'm looking forward to seeing what God will do.
Amen. Thank you. I'm glad to be here tonight. Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
Wonderful to be here. And I trust I'll speak loud enough. And I say that because sometimes when my wife sits here, she does like this. And the reason for that is I have hearing aids. These things are worthless. And they're a Christian lady, of course, and we purchase them from these things and so on. They're supposed to work. But what happens is, in my head, I'm speaking real loud, but coming out, it's not that loud. I want you to be able to hear me. But I'm glad to be here on Saturday night. Isn't that wonderful to be in church on Saturday night?
Yeah.
That's a thrill and a real blessing. And I look around and I see one young man here tonight. And he answered the door when we rang the doorbell today. I'm glad you're here tonight. And I trust he's glad as well. But listen, I have five children and 14 grandchildren. And it's hard to believe I got 32 great-grandchildren. And my wife takes track of them all. It's all written on the calendar, and so they hear from us. Of course, every time their birthday comes, we contact them in some way. But what I want to do before we read the Bible tonight, I want to find out how smart you are. And I want to do it for this young man sitting over here. And so I'm going to ask some questions. Now you have to think. These questions are not biblical questions, all of them. So I want you to think and answer them and smile as you answer them. All right, here's one that we'll start with. What is the longest word in the dictionary? What's the longest word in the dictionary? You want to guess? You want to get that word? What is it? What was that? What's the longest word in the dictionary? You want to guess what it is?
Procrastination.
This is the longest word in the dictionary, and I see it tonight as I look at you, wonderful folk. It's the word smiles. There's a mile between the S's. Isn't that terrible? That's great. All right, here's another one. What tree comes in twos? What tree comes in twos?
Pear tree.
That's right, a pear tree. Now, here's a biblical question. It's not quite biblical, but here's a question that has to do with the Bible. How many animals did Moses take in the ark?
None.
Because it was Noah, not Moses. All right, great. What grows larger the more you take from it? What grows larger the more you take from it?
A hydra?
A what?
A hydra.
Huh?
A hydra.
No, hydra. What grows larger the more you take from it? That's a hard question. It's a hole. That's terrible, terrible. Now, here's one. You know, we come to church, and I'm in churches all across this country, but many times in churches I hear people say amen. And that's good. Or praise the Lord. But this question, think now, why is it that we say amen and not a woman? Why is it in church we say amen and not a woman? Have any idea? You want to guess? The reason is that we sing hymns. All right, great. A couple more and then we'll get serious tonight with the message. What is pronounced by one, like one letter, written with two letters, and belongs to all animals? What is pronounced like one letter, written with two letters, and belongs to all animals? Yes?
I.
All right, you got that. All right, the last one. What did Adam and Eve have that everyone else... what didn't Adam and Eve have that everyone else has? What didn't did Adam and Eve have that everyone else has?
Belly button.
What?
Belly button.
Belly button. No, I don't know whether he had a belly button. All right. What did Adam and Eve have that everyone else has?
Parents.
All right. That's good. Isn't that something? That makes us smile just a little bit. And only when we come to church. We'll have a good time, right? Great. All right. Turn your Bibles now. Turn your Bible. If you have your Bible, I'll follow along. If you do not have your Bible, then just listen as we have the privilege tonight to read from the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. And I want to begin reading with verse number 54. Luke, chapter 22, beginning with verse 54. I'm going to read through verse 62. And we're going to read about a very, very interesting man, one of the outstanding disciples by the name of Peter. I want to bring a message tonight about Peter. And so if you have your Bible, follow along. If you do not, just listen. Verse 54 of Luke chapter 22. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great blessing to read the Word of God. What a blessing to be here tonight. What a blessing to have these dear folk here in this service tonight. And Lord, it's my prayer that you bless them, that you encourage them. I do not know where they stand in relationship with thee, but I know, the Lord, that you know. And I'm so thankful you love us. And I'm so thankful for your grace. And I'm so thankful for the marvel of salvation. And I'm so thankful that you forgive us. And so challenge us tonight as we look into the wonderful Word of God. We'll praise you and love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's wonderful to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to be a Christian. A real believer. A person who knows that his and her sins are forgiven and that heaven is a sure thing. Isn't that wonderful? That's a tremendous assurance. Now, but how does a person become a Christian? Now, think with me just a bit, because there's such confusion concerning this subject in many so-called churches today. How do we become a Christian? First of all, there are those that teach we become a Christian by baptism. Now, I was baptized as a baby. And the church that we belong to taught that when you're baptized as a baby, you become a child of God. Now, it's not true. It's not in the Bible. But that church taught it. They taught it, though it's not in the Bible. And then there are those that say, well, to become a Christian, you need to be a member of a church. A member of some kind of a church. And I think of a large church, and it's interesting, that sent out a letter in a box holder way all through the community, and inside the letter was a postcard. And it said, if you want to be a member of this church, you want to be a Christian, sign the card and send it back. Can you believe that? I don't know how many individuals that received that letter and that sent that postcard back, but that's ridiculous. Yeah. But there are those that teach it. That in order to be a member, in order to be a Christian, you've got to be a member of a church. Now, that's not found in the Bible, though. Also, there are those that in order to become a Christian say, you have to live a certain kind of life. And if you don't live a certain kind of life, you're not a Christian. There are those that say you're a Christian by works. You have to work at it, work at it. And I've heard dear folks say that to me. And I say, if you have to work, how much work do you have to do? How much work do you have to do? I've been preaching many, many years, traveled around the world, held meetings on mission fields all over. And I said to a dear lady on a plane, as I was flying to a meeting, I said to her, she said, well, you have to have works. I said, well, how much works? How much works? And she dropped her and said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, listen, what kind of a God is it that demands works? Works, and if you don't have a certain amount of works, you're not going to make it. That's ridiculous. And yet there are dear folk that believe it. They believe it. And so on. But listen, let me share with you in the beginning of this message now how you become a real Christian. Number one, in order for a person to become a real Christian, they must see themselves as lost. How many are lost? All. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I say this, don't go around like this, pointing your finger at somebody else. No, no, because when you do it, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself. We've all been cut from the same piece of cloth. We are all sinners. And the Bible tells us that and so clearly in the Word of God. In Romans 3, verse 10, verse 23, there's none righteous, no, not one. So we must believe that. Number one, that we're lost. That we're lost. Secondly, we must believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us. He did not die on the cross to make us a good person. No, no. He died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed, born again. So we must believe those two things to become a Christian. I illustrate sometimes with my hands. I say this hand represents the fact that we're sinners. Right? We're all sinners. This hand represents the fact that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood for us. Now, dear friend, tonight, you can believe these two facts and go straight to hell. You can believe that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died on the cross and God loves you. You can believe that. But listen, in order to be saved, the sinner must receive the Savior, and the Savior must receive the sinner. And when that takes place, it becomes saving. Saving faith. So we realize that we're lost. We realize that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us. And then, as I mentioned, we need to repent of our sin and personally accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And then what happens? We confess with our mouth. That's what it says in the Bible in Romans 10, 9 and 10. A person must confess with his mouth and believe in his heart. There needs to be some evidence. I hear folks say, well, I'm a silent believer. No, no such thing. No such thing. If we're really sinning, it's going to get out. It gets out the cracks. It's going to come. That's how a person becomes a real born-again Christian. And I say to them, you know for sure you're saved and born again. It's not a member of this church that's going to do it. No, no. It's the Word of God that declares it. And it's wonderful to know we're saved. Now tonight, may I say, even though a person is saved, even though a person's been born again, they can fail. They can sin. They can slide down the road the wrong way. And I've studied this over and over again concerning Peter. Peter was a very vocal person. I mean, in every situation, he'd speak up. But something happened in the life of Peter. And I see it in this passage that I read tonight that I want to share with you. And I think of a scripture verse found in 2 Samuel chapter 1. It's found three times there. It says, how are the mighty fallen? What happens? What happens? And I say this kindly. I meet people in every church that I go to, and I look for them, and they don't come anymore. Something's happened. Something's happened to them. And I ask, why? What's happened? And there's some steps downward in the life of Peter that reveal what happens. And I want to share those steps with you. Now, before we look at the steps, there's two great truths that I believe are important. First of all, Peter did not expect to fall or fail. He did not expect to. And I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. The second great truth about Peter's fall was gradual, not sudden. Just something gradual that came and began to take place in his life. Now, as we look at that as the beginning of this message, now look at the steps with me. First of all, Peter had a bad attitude. He said, not me. He said, not me. And as soon as you look at Peter, I mean, the Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 30, he said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That's what Peter said. In Luke 22, and verse 33, he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and of death. You see, there's something happened with Peter in his attitude. He began to boast. Say, not me. Not me. Now, dear friend, that's where it starts. And look at the scripture that reveals that. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Some Christians always have the answer. They always think that they're right. Bad attitude. Bad attitude. Now that took place with Peter. Now the second thing with Peter that I noticed, Peter had a heart problem. Not just an attitude problem, but he had a heart problem. And we read that here in chapter 22 and verse 45 and verse 6. The Bible says that they went in the garden and Jesus found Peter sleeping. And it's interesting in the Bible, if you read it and study it, because in Matthew 26 and verse 41, and Jesus cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith to Peter, he zeroes in on Peter. He found them all sleeping, but he zeroed in on Peter. And he said, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He had a heart problem. Not just an attitude problem, but a heart problem. And many times, that's when it starts. It starts with believers. No time for prayer, no time with Bible study. Starts inside. Now, dear friend, every day you ought to read your Bible, right?
Amen.
You ought to read your Bible every day. People say, I don't have time. Take time. And you don't have to read a lot. My wife and I read through the entire Bible at least once a year, and so on. And I think that's a good practice. But listen, just read a verse or two of Scripture. Just read the Word of God. And then talk to the Lord. That's what prayer is all about. That's what prayer is about. Now, I appreciate prayer. You know what prayer means to me? Prayer is talking to somebody that loves me. And I love. And I say it means so much to me because I'm a product of a broken home. My dad left home, my house, our home, when I was 12 years of age. Never came back. Walked out, never said goodbye. Never said goodbye. But he walked out, got in the car, drove down the road a few miles, and picked up a woman. A woman that used to stand by the road when they worked on highway construction. And she had a van. She had a family. Had a family. But she'd stand outside the van, and when the men got through work at 5 o'clock, she'd say, come, come, come and spend the night with me. My dad got caught in that web. Not a lot of arguing in our home. But my dad walked out. Never came back. I've searched for him over the years all across this country. I've never found him. And so here I am, just a 12-year-old boy. How old are you? Great. And so what did I do? I got a job on a farm milking cows this way. I milk 8 cows in the morning, 8 cows at night for my boarding room. Finally, got a job building fires in the country school to get up a little money so I could buy some clothes to put on my back. But during those years, I needed somebody to talk to. I needed somebody to talk to. I needed a dad. I run out on the back side of the barn, and I nailed a 2x4 there, and I built myself a little chair, looking at the barn where I could see the cows and the horses, and I would sit there frustrated. I needed that. But I read in this book that once I got saved, God became my Father.
Amen.
And I could talk to Him anytime, anywhere, and God never told me to shut the door. Listened. That's prayer. I've talked to him several times today. You see, dear friends, Peter had a heart problem. He went to sleep. Now the third step down that I see, he had an ear problem. He was not listening. He was not listening. Luke 22:49-50. He said, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. They were in the garden. And you can study that Peter was so impulsive, they came and wrestled. He pulled out and said, just cut the ear off the fellow. What did Jesus say? Oh, listen, I read Jesus said in John 18, he said, let them go. Let them go. Don't fight with them. Let them go. And Peter didn't listen to the words of the Lord. He was not listening. How about us? Are we listening? I have a good time in services. Sometimes I ask, not just a question to ask, that, but I ask, I say, how many of you dear folk were here last night in the meeting? And people raise their hand. I said, all right, you were here last night. You remember what I preached last night? You were here, weren't you? I said, you remember any of the hymns we sung? And then I get a little bit closer to home. I say, well, how about tonight? Do you remember the first hymn that we sung tonight? You see, dear friend, it's so easy to be in a service. And I see dear ladies, God bless them. I see dear ladies making out their grocery list.
I see dear folk balancing their checkbook.
Not less of age. That was true, Peter. He was not listening to what the Lord said. And how true. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 7, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Romans, Proverbs 15 and verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of God is among the wise. He that hath an ear, let him hear. That's what they're for. That was true of Peter. All right. The fourth thing. Peter was not following. He was not following. He had a foot problem. A foot problem. And we read that here. Peter, in verse 54 of our text, Peter followed afar off. Afar off. And then we read that Peter sat down among them. Among those that brought Jesus on trial or about to crucify him. Peter was warming himself by the fire. That's Peter now. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, and Peter stood with them.